Hello, everyone. Welcome back to For the Girls. We have not one, but two Spanish drivers, Carlos Sainz and Fernando Alonso. We're celebrating their home race this weekend. It's also an F1 Academy race weekend. Very excited for that. So we'll be giving you a preview of what to expect for that later in the episode. And overall, we are very excited for the Spanish Grand Prix. I'm Sarah.
I'm Tiggy.
And I'm Chessa. Okay, we're at the beautiful Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya this round, and so excited to watch both, like Sarah said, F1 and F1 Academy. Remember, we haven't seen them since Miami, so it's going to be amazing. And F1 teams are super familiar with this track. They've raced here since 1991, and historically, a lot of preseason testing also has been held here in the past. So lots of time in testing, racing in the simulators. The drivers are very familiar with it. And this track is also a little bit historical. There's been some iconic battles and races on this track, like the Nigel Mansell Ayrton Senna drag race at the debut race here way back when. And they were going wheel to wheel at 190 miles per hour. Literal insanity.
Some characteristics. So 66 laps, two DRS zones, 14 corners. There are a lot of medium and high speed corners, elevation changes, a straight that's over 1 kilometer long. And overtaking historically has been a little bit tough on this track, but the main overtaking opportunity will be turn one. So look out for that. Similar to Monaco, because of that, quali is super important because most races here have been won by the pole sitter. And something also interesting to note, as we enter the real European swing, we have a triple header in Europe.
My Lord.
Spain is usually a popular upgrade venue since the grid is staying in Europe for the next several races, and it's more of a traditional track. So we will be on the lookout for those upgrades.
And in terms of some history, this track has been around since 1991. It was actually built as part of the 1992 Barcelona Olympics development program as the start finish for the road cycling event.
Oh, cool.
Very interesting. And another fun fact about the Spanish Grand Prix, generally not at this circuit, but it's the only Grand Prix in which a woman has scored points. Leila Lombardi finished sixth in the 1975 race. She scored half a point since the race was cut short after a crash killed fans. Very tragic. In 1996, Schumacher took his first win as a Ferrari driver at the Spanish Grand Prix during a torrential downpour. And in 2006, Alonso became the first Spanish driver to win his home Grand Prix. And also, Max had his maiden F1 win in Barcelona mid-season when he got promoted from Toro Rosso.
Damn.
So overall, a lot of fun history here.
I feel like we were due for a fun historical moment based on those dates, 96, 2006, and 2016. We are due. Maybe, yeah, just about.
There's no six in this year, but.
I don't know, but like it's been eight years.
Six in a month.
There you go, Tiggy. Thank you. I hope our hot takes are reflective of this storied history. Okay, so last race, Max Verstappen took a very dominant victory in Spain, but we did have Hamilton and Russell on podium behind him, and then Checo in fourth and Sainz in fifth. I think we forget how much Mercedes has been on podium in the past few years, despite a rough start to the season. But Hamilton and Lando collided on the first lap. Hamilton was able to recover, and then Russell had an amazing drive, P12 to podium, and Lewis was P5 to P2. So that was amazing. Also a great kind of recovery drive for Checo after he started 11th, ended up taking fourth in an amazing recovery drive. And quali here, like we said, which is super important, was crazy. Leclerc got knocked out in Q1 and then had to start from the pit lane. Gasly got 2 3-place grid penalties for impeding in quali. So lots to look out for this year too.
For the team, so for Red Bull, as we were mentioning, Max's maiden win was here in 2016. He became the youngest ever driver to win a race at 18 in his debut for Red Bull, as Sarah said, promoted mid-season. And this was also the race that Lewis and Nico Rosberg crashed into each other and had to retire. So
another iconic moment.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe that helped. Yeah, this place has a lot of amazing stuff going on. God, I can't wait for this weekend.
But the big questions for Red Bull are, number one, will Max return to his dominant form? Even though he came out on top in Montreal, he was definitely put more to the test. And Barcelona is a bit more of a traditional circuit. Red Bull tends to fare well on the European swing. So things hopefully are feeling good for them, but definitely interested to see where they go from here and if Max is kind of making it decisive versus having people challenge him. And then big second question is with whether Checo will redeem himself. I think fresh off a 2-year renewal, he got knocked out in Q1, then DNF'd in Canada. That was also after a Q1 knockout in Monaco the race before. So he's starting this race with a 3-place grid penalty. So not off to a great start, but we will hope for the best for him.
I'm also super interested in how the Red Bull car will fare, because we've been talking a lot about how Max and the team have been pretty vocal about how the car does not do great on curbs and on some of these street circuits. And there are a ton of curbs that are really important to how you take corners in Canada, and these kind of classic European tracks are much less curb heavy, potentially are a lot more favorable to the Red Bull generally. So I'm super curious.
I think along those lines, I think it's less of a Max versus Checo question, because if, you know, we look at the past few races, we can see Max generally more of an upwards trajectory than Checo, of course. But if this really is the big upgrade race for a lot of the teams bringing upgrades for the European swing, like, I am just excited to see what Red Bull can bring, because, you know, they have been bringing developments. The car has been looking competitive, albeit not as competitive, or the drivers aren't as happy with it as usual. But other teams have really been making strides there. So I think I'm just excited to see how the car looks. And God, I hope Checo can just pull one out of the bag. He needs a morale. He needs a morale win for sure.
Christian made a comment saying that Checo knows what the stakes are, which is interesting. Like,
why would he say that?
2-year re-signing. Like, what are the stakes? He seems.
I guess it's constructors, and yeah, even with the 2-year signing, they can probably sit him down and say, "Look, you're here for us to win constructors, and you're not really helping right now."
Just seems like a PR nightmare to like walk back a 2-year renewal.
People would love it. People would love it. That's so true. Also, I did read somewhere that apparently Barcelona ticket sales or attendance is expected to be a little bit less than usual. And some people are saying, oh, it's because Max has just been so dominant and people don't want to see him continue to win. But I think
they were saying that actually about the British Grand Prix, that they're having a hard time selling it out because of Red Bull dominance. I mean, that could just be a scapegoat.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Well,
also, well, hopefully people are paying attention too. Hopefully people are watching the Canadian Grand Prix and rush to make their plans.
Max still won that. So I think if people are just looking at the headlines, it's like, oh, here we go again.
Yes, true. That's a good point. You really had to have been watching the race or seeing some of the details to see how exciting it was. That's a good point.
For Ferrari, so this is a Carlos Sainz home race. All eyes are on his contract announcement, which we are eagerly awaiting at this time of recording. We have not heard any news, but there was some speculation that it would be announced for his home race. Ferrari was definitely beginning to look like it was making a compelling return to its glory days, but Montreal definitely feels like it took them a couple steps backward. They didn't have pace. Both cars failed to make Q3, then 2 DNFs. So
many steps backward.
Yeah, they were 24 points from Red Bull and constructors heading into Canada. Now they're back to almost 50 at 49. So
yeah.
From their perspective, at least, I think it's good that Checo hasn't been helping Red Bull too much in the constructors' battle, but they also have McLaren 40 points back right at their heels. So definitely something that they need to keep up with. In more exciting news, though, Charles did carry the Olympic torch through Monaco as part of the lead up to the Olympics in Paris this summer. It was sort of a relay where different Monegasque athletes passed it amongst each other until it reached the Prince and Princess of Monaco. Lewis also did this for Britain back when London hosted the Olympics in 2012. So love this F1 tradition of torch carrying. It's great.
It's so crazy because F1 isn't even, of course, not an Olympic sport, but I love that they're getting included on the national stage, international stage.
There were those rumors that we would be seeing motorsport potentially in the Olympics for 2028, but it's been all quiet on those rumors since.
For Mercedes, last year's race here, we got the incredible, infamous George Russell radio of, is anyone else reporting rain? And then I think it's sweat from inside my helmet.
Great radios.
Mercedes did look good in Montreal. Toto's made some favorable comments about how their upgrades have looked. So Barcelona will be a good testing ground for them. It was sad that for their first podium in the season, Lewis and George were both upset with how they drove. But overall, it seems like things are trending in the right direction. And very notably, the FIA changed the super license rules to allow for a driver under the age of 18 to be granted a super license, which you need to be able to race in F1. And this is largely speculated to be for Kimi Antonelli, the current F2 phenom, who's currently 17 and is seemingly the front runner for the Mercedes 2025 seat. He is turning 18 at the end of August, but this would allow him to participate in F1 practice sessions. And a fun fact is the 18-year cutoff, it's unofficially known as the Max Verstappen rule, because when he made that Barcelona debut in 2016, he was only 17. And it was right after that, and then he was the youngest race winner at 18. And it was after that the FIA made the minimum age 18 to avoid young drivers driving too soon.
They were like, stop stirring the pot. Let's keep these old folks in a little bit longer, I guess. Who knows?
I know. It's kind of interesting that they made the rule fresh off the incredible success of a young driver.
Yeah. Interesting.
But look where it's landed us, a period of dominance. But I guess we came from that.
Well, maybe we'll see it if they're moving it back. And actually, I don't think they fully moved the rule back. They just like added an addendum to be like, if there's a strong enough case, we can, it's allowed, which is interesting. But Williams was the one that made this request to the FIA, and that was approved at the FIA's judgment. Quote, they said, at the sole discretion of the FIA, a driver judged to have recently and consistently demonstrated outstanding ability and maturity in single-seater formula competition may be granted a super license at the age of 17. So Kimi Antonelli is currently sixth in the F2 standings and has the points required for a super license. And there definitely has been some controversy around this and criticism coming from the IndyCar crowd, especially given their denial for the exemption of Colton Herta last year. The cases are definitely different, but what do you guys think? Do you think he's too young? Do you think Mercedes, you know, putting the cart ahead of the horse here? What do you all want to say?
Yeah, I think first on the Colton Herta thing, the cases, I understand the frustration coming out of the IndyCar community, but the cases are quite different.
Yeah.
I think the criticism was, I think Alexander Rossi made a tweet like, oh, you'll make an exception for Kimi, but not for Colton. The difference is Kimi has enough points to get a super license. He's just not at the right age. Colton Herta did not have the right amount of points. So the exception they made was for the age, but not the number of points needed.
But I think the reason he didn't have enough points is because there's kind of a systemic issue where IndyCar success gets you less points than Formula 2.
Yeah, it's a whole different. Sure. It's definitely something to be taken up with the FIA, but it is kind of
it's a very different than the age question. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is so interesting. Like we say, Kimi is a phenom and Toto really seems to put back him a lot, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see him in the F1 car, even in a practice session, and see how he does, because I still think there's a chance that he doesn't go to Mercedes and maybe goes to Williams, though it definitely seems like Toto is gunning for Kimi to take that seat. So, yeah.
I wonder how much of this conversation we would be having at all if we all Toto is like glimmer in his eyes wanting this like next golden child of Formula One. And I think that's why he's probably getting super excited about it. Hence why we're talking about it a lot. But if there hadn't been such a young phenom like Max before to compare this potential to for Kimi, I'm interested to see how things play out. I think you're right.
Yeah, I wonder how much of it is Toto trying to avenge the fact that he missed out on Max Verstappen.
Literally.
Versus like Kimi Antonelli really is the real deal.
Exactly.
It's just hard to know.
It's a good circumstance.
I think also it's interesting, potentially in an ideal world, they would have had a driver for 1 year for 2025 like Carlos, while Kimi was at Williams for a year, test him out, and then put him in the Mercedes seat for 2026. But I would have originally assumed Carlos would take that, but then he made those comments in the Luke Smith article for The Athletic saying that he really wanted a multi-year deal and a project, basically. So if they don't have a compelling candidate for kind of a filler year for Kimi, that might be part of the reason why they're thinking of putting him straight in the Mercedes seat.
We'll see. Not to stir the pot, but speaking of a filler year for Mercedes, I read somewhere that Ocon is being considered for the Mercedes seat, which I'm going to call BS on right now. I don't think
we've talked about
happen.
This, though, because Toto is managing Ocon's career, and Ocon made those comments about how strong his ties are to Mercedes. I feel like that's pretty unlikely.
I think after what he pulled at Monaco, probably not. And last piece of Mercedes news is that Lewis Hamilton will be starring in Camila Cabello's new music video. So we obviously cannot wait to see that.
The teaser was amazing. Go check out on her Instagram if you have not seen it yet. But he's fully doing donuts with Camila in the car.
That's incredible. Maybe they filmed it at the Miami GP because she was there.
It's definitely Miami coded. So for
sure. There you go. for McLaren. It was announced this time last year that McLaren was poaching Rob Marshall, Red Bull's former chief engineering officer, where he was for 17 years. So it definitely feels like a good moment to reflect on how far McLaren has come in the past year and how much we want to see from them. They're, like we said, not far off from Ferrari, and then only one more weekend, like Montreal, and McLaren could be number two in the championship. So all eyes on them, I think, to see their continued good cadence forward.
For Aston Martin, this is an Alonso home race, as we mentioned. For last year's Spanish Grand Prix preview, we did couple it with an Alonso deep dive. So definitely go check that out if you're curious to learn more about the man, the myth, the legend himself. There's a lot to know in his very long and storied career, as he is in his 40th decade on this earth.
The fourth decade.
40th.
40th he basically decade. Could be in He's his 40th He's not only decade. The oldest F1 driver, but the oldest man on earth.
For V-Carb, so Yuki was re-signed to V-Carb for a year. Helmut definitely made some comments this week about how he's been impressed with Yuki. He's really stepped up, and it's been interesting to see him, as we've talked about, alongside Daniel and kind of outperforming him consistently. In an interview last week, Christian Horner did say that Daniel Ricciardo is going to, quote, have to work hard to retain his F1 seat. So what do you all think? What are Liam's prospects? Does it feel like it's... the door is closing, or do we feel like he would be a still a likely replacement for Daniel?
So we asked this in a poll last week, and the results, I think, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was like 25% Danny will keep his seat, 25% Liam, and like maybe I forget, but I think at least half the people said that Danny won't have a seat next year, which I think might be true.
I think he will have a seat. I'm not positive it will be at V-Carb. I could really see him at Haas potentially.
Gosh, there's so many people in contention for Haas. I just don't see Danny going there. That would be his, what, fourth team switch in several years?
Haas is kind of like the bucket right now that everyone's just getting lumped into. If they're like, I don't know, I don't think I could see them at a top/midfield team. Let's just see what they could do at Haas.
I do think, though, he brings a ton of experience, and even though it's not really being reflected on track right now, it does have a very storied history. And then also, of course, a huge part of it is the marketing and kind of his star power. And it's interesting how much that even might have been taken into account in Red Bull re-signing Checo, as having such a huge, huge fan base, financial backing. All of that does go a long way. Maybe That's it's just true. Wishful thinking, because I want him to stay in F1, but I am a little bit skeptical/worried about the V-Carb seat given Christian's comments, because I feel like Christian has been one of his biggest supporters and really, really pulled for him to be back. And that's not a great sign if Christian's making comments about how he needs to work hard to keep his seat.
Yeah, I think if we're going to be honest, the only thing keeping – this is my opinion, but the only thing keeping Daniel in that seat is his marketability and the money and business and attention that he brings to the team. There's a huge value to be said for that, but he's definitely not performed on track in a way that would warrant keeping his seat.
Well, did he have P4 qualifying in Canada?
A glory lap. Woo-hoo. A one lap wonder.
The beauty of Formula One is all you need is one standout performance in one race to get people talking and have conversations open up again. So let's see what he brings this weekend.
He needs his Monza moment, V-Carb edition.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that is with Babbel. If I had one wish, it would be to speak every language, but sadly, I've given up hope on that and have turned my full focus to learning French. Ever since my family lived in Paris, I've been on a French learning journey, taking weekly classes, doing tutoring twice a week, listening to French podcasts daily. But the only consistent way I've been able to feel immersed and feel like I'm actually improving each day is with Babbel. It is so easy to integrate into my daily routine, learn how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve improve your pronunciation and accent, which has been a godsend for me in French. It's developed by over 200 expert linguists, and one study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. To join millions of Babbel language learners across all age groups, here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/FTG. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FTG, spelled BABBEL.com/FTG. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Women's health is so important, and balanced hormones are key to that. We've been loving Hormone Harmony, an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution for women of all ages from Happy Mammoth. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, which are science-backed herbal extracts that help your body adapt to stressors like hormonal changes and all the things that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Happy Mammoth as a company is so incredible. It's committed to making women's lives easier, and they actually have a whole range of products to help that. Another one that we've been loving is Estro Control, which you take to help support and balance you throughout your entire cycle, and it really helps ease all of those PMS symptoms. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off of your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. Spring is over, and it's not too late to get yourself an iconic pair of Tecovas cowboy boots before the summer. They are the coolest addition to any outfit and add such a fun flair to literally anything that you're wearing. And with every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, which means that you don't have to break them in. You can just wear them right away. It's truly amazing. And of course, the timeless Western style that is so unique to Tecovas. The boots are made from premium bovine and exotic leathers and can truly last you your entire lifetime. So head on over to your local store. It's the best way to shop. Grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop all of the latest styles. They also offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or any of their other leather goods. Tecovas also has beautiful classic straw hats and a gorgeous lineup of rugged and full grain leather bags. And if you can't make it to a store, don't worry, you can shop online. Just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Don't go gently, y'all. So for Williams, if you haven't listened to our interview with Alex Albon yet, we highly, highly recommend. Tiggy absolutely crushed it. He talks about why he re-signed, the process the Williams is going through to start competing towards the top, amongst a bunch of other things. And yeah, it was a gem of an interview. Definitely go back and listen to it. James Vowles made some balanced comments, as always, about Logan throughout the Canadian GP weekend, saying that he's noted some improvement and confidence building in Logan's second season, and that he and Albon also haven't had the same car specs and upgrade packages for a while, sort of like giving Logan the benefit of the doubt. But he did say that he would want to see more from him in order to have him, quote, save his seat, and has openly admitted to Carlos being their number one target for a replacement, which, again, I have many feelings about. But James has also made comments that Williams has signed some big names in the tech aero department and that they're not able to announce them yet, but people will be recognized.
So interesting to me, and I'm so curious who it is, and I really am wondering if it's Adrian Newey. The Easter egging that Albon did in our interview about who he would be on an island stranded with, which was Valtteri Bottas. Could that be his second teammate? And Adrian Newey, oh my God, could that be his new engineer?
If that's true, that would be gold.
Biggest
right
Easter
there.
Egg of all time. But would be amazing. Yeah, it's going to be so interesting. I think everything hinges on Carlos as the highest priority signing, and then the dominoes will fall very shortly.
Yeah, I think you're right. Things will start to move much more quickly once we have a Carlos announcement, because he's kind of the apex person right now.
Yes. For Haas, Ollie Bearman is set to drive an FP1 in Barcelona in place of Nico Hülkenberg, so it'll be great to see him back in the seat. Komatsu said he's under serious consideration for the 2025 seat, but also noted, as we were talking about regarding Danny, that they're definitely looking for someone with a lot of experience to help guide what he called a very small team and still relatively new. K-Mag was asked a lot about his future in Canada and said that Haas has communicated that they're in no rush to lock things in really for anyone and are definitely evaluating options. He said, quote, "I think everyone is talking to everyone and checking what options we all have." So yes, we will see where the dominoes fall. But We talked about Danny. Other rumored Haas seat options are, of course, Ollie Berman, Ocon, and Bottas. So we'll see. Ooh,
God, I can't wait for all of this stuff to come.
I hope it's Ollie. I want Ollie alongside. I guess I would say Bottas if he doesn't go to Williams. I think that would probably be my dream pairing, Ollie and Bottas.
I don't really know that much about Ollie's personality, but having Ollie Berman and Danny Ricciardo could be actually quite a cool lineup. Purely on names.
I agree, and I want Bottas to have a good opportunity and a good seat. So we shall see. For Alpine, Autosport reported that Alpine is in talks with other suppliers to potentially become a customer team instead of a works team, which would mean dropping Renault.
This is big.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like that also changes a lot of what we talk about, the driver market and things like that, because that could be kind of a big gamble for someone to just go on a team that's so new like that on the supplier side.
Yeah. It all started when Red Bull dropped Renault and
the downfall.
Yeah.
But justice for Cyril.
Bring him back.
I wonder what's going to happen. I mean, the options for them are Mercedes, Ferrari, Ford/Red Bull, or Honda, right? So it'll be
Audi maybe.
Yeah, or Audi.
Or 2026, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else is a Renault team right now?
It's
only Alpine.
Well, so maybe this could be coming internally from Renault too. Maybe they're trying to, you know, shake their hands of F1, and it's not as like a mic drop as we would see on the news like this, but
it's definitely not a money-making business, it feels like, for them right now.
Exactly.
It's going to be weird. Alpine shedding some of their French DNA because there's no French option for
them. Imagine Alpine with a Mercedes engine or a Ferrari engine.
Well, I mean, Alpine right now, two French drivers, French engine. If they drop all three, okay, maybe they'll keep one. But
French car brand. They do have the factory in Enstone, which is in the UK, but it's definitely interesting move.
I think this makes sense. I think eventually F1 will continue. I don't know how much consolidation we'll see, but like, I don't think it is a massive money-making business. So, especially if you only have one team, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, it's tough. So other Alpine news, Bruno Famin also made some comments this week about the likelihood of Jack Doohan securing his F1 debut by replacing Ocon next season. He said they're prepping him. He's definitely one possibility among others, but still to be decided. It's going to be interesting if we have any rookies on the grid. I feel like there are so many in contention, Liam, Ollie,
better.
Jack, but like there's a very real possibility we don't have any of that.
I want second four year in a row. That would be wild.
Four rookies.
Annoying. He also, Bruno made a comment about how Ocon and Gasly are on equal standing for the rest of the season, despite all the drama. I'm curious how true in practice that is.
They were like, you stirred the pot too much during the Monaco GP. You need to take a backseat and make sure that they're happy.
Wow. So you want four rookies. Who do you want to cut then? You got to cut four drivers from the current grid.
Who's the fourth rookie? Oh, Kimi.
Kimi, Ollie, Liam, and Jack.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with three. But wouldn't four be a divine situation?
He's so nice. We would be able to do our introducing the rookie class episode that we did.
We could do an entire episode. It could be so fun. Maybe we could.
Okay, well, dodging the question, who are you cutting? Got to cut four drivers.
Damn, you know, I would have told you that Danny, Checo, guys, I could see Danny out. I mean, I don't wish Checo out, but Checo was a serious option in my mind for not being
K-Mag, gone.
K-Mag, also both Haas drivers. Also, both Alpine drivers.
Well, Nico's going to Sauber.
Oh, right. Okay. So, not him. So, fine. Checo.
Wow. Yeah. You want to cut Checo?
I don't, but I didn't think Checo wanted to keep racing.
He just signed a 2-year deal.
I know, but I don't know if he wanted to do that. Okay, let's round out the teams before we get to our hot take. So, stake. Sauber said that they are on a, quote, quest for points, which does sound like a goal. It's kind of being like, to win, you need to be first place. Like, pretty
points to be
classic Will Bustonism. And Botto said he's confident he'll have a seat for 2025, but that he will need to act quickly to secure it. Haas, Williams, and Alpine seem to all be options on the table, like we've discussed. So we definitely, definitely want to see him next year. All right, hot takes. All right. Piggy.
Hot takes. I'm going with a Lewis podium. I think I'm hoping that the Mercedes upgrades will continue to shine as they did in Canada. And I think Lewis is going to redeem himself.
I am going to go with a Carlos win.
A home win.
What? A
huge reversal from Canada for Ferrari. And why not a home win?
Okay, well, I was going to say Carlos Sainz podium, but now that seems lame. So I'm going to say Carlos podium and Alonso P4 or P5. A little Spanish power there.
Okay. I like that.
And we will have you all listen to a listener hot take right now as well.
Hot take for Spain, Aston Martin, a.k.a. Alonso, on podium.
And Max Verstappen, DNF for car issues.
Thank you, Aaron and Kevin, for bringing the spice. For F1 Academy, so this is F1 Academy's third out of 7 races of the season following Saudi and Miami earlier this year. A quick refresher on this weekend's format. They'll have practice and quali on Friday, race 1 on Saturday, and race 2 on Sunday. The current standings for the top 10. So we have Abby pulling with 99, Dorian Pain with 65, Maya Vogue with 51, Chloe Chambers 40, Bianca Bustamante 39, Nerea Marti 33, Hamda Al-Kubaisi 30, Jess Edgar 18, Amna Al-Kubaisi 12, and Carrie Schreiner 9. And speaking of Carrie Schreiner, she is returning to British F4 this summer in Silverstone and Zandvoort. So it's
amazing.
And she's raced in that series, but super excited to see what she does.
For news, amid some rain delays and crazy weather, Le Mans took place this past weekend. The rain delay caused the longest safety car period in Le Mans almost 100-year history. The safety cars even ran out of fuel.
Oh my really God.
Crazy. It was crazy.
Ferrari defended their title, Ferrari Hypercar winning for the second year in a row. And Nyck de Vries came second in the Toyota car. Really exciting.
Way to go, Nyck. That's awesome. So cool. And in highly anticipated news, we thought this completely fell off the radar, but they're back. The F1 Apple original films movie with Brad Pitt now has a release date, June 25, 2025. Mark your calendars. Of course, we already did, for one of the most expensive movies ever made. They'll be doing some production at the upcoming British GP as well as some other races throughout the rest of the season before wrapping in Abu Dhabi. I literally cannot wait for this. I hope
it's so excited.
I think for people that don't watch F1, like the movie's gonna be cool. But for people that watch F1 day in and day out like us, I really hope it lives up to all its factual expectations.
It has to be so good. Like
Lewis is helping on it. So
that they have the budget that they have, the director is the same as Top Gun Maverick. Like, I don't see how this could be movie. So this hopefully will be incredible.
I foresee like a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Let's hope.
Sarah is obsessed with Top Gun. Sarah, how many times did you see Top Gun Maverick?
Only a couple times, but I love action movies. This is definitely up my alley. I'm really excited.
Well, we'll definitely all be going together. Well, we're very excited for the first European triple header, Barcelona, Austria, and the UK on deck. Reminder to rate and review the podcast wherever you get it. It definitely helps us out a lot. And we will chat with you after Spain.